Welcome to Daily Wisdom, Walking the Path with the Buddha, a podcast shared by David Roylance. This podcast is dedicated to guiding you to completely eliminate the discontent mind and the suffering it causes by attaining enlightenment. Learn and practice the teachings of Gautama Buddha that will guide you to fully attain a peaceful, calm, serene, and content mind with joy. To support this podcast, visit patreon.com/supportbuddha or visit buddhadailywisdom.com, where you will discover a full range of courses, retreats, and online learning resources to assist you on the path to enlightenment. Now, here's our teacher to share more.
Okay, good morning to all of you guys. Sawadee kap. Welcome to everyone. Today is our second day of this retreat, where today I'm going to be introducing you and teaching you how to do walking meditation, and then giving you an opportunity to do walking meditation. And then we're going to, after walking meditation, move into the Eightfold Path. This is the path to enlightenment. This is the core central teaching of the Buddha that you would need to learn in order to progress to the enlightened mind. And then, of course, we have our excursion today, where we're going out to the elephants. If you guys would like to go, you're more than welcome to go to that. And then in the evening, when we come back at 6:30, I'll be teaching you the five precepts. And all of this, I'll be using the words of the Buddha to be able to help you guys, so you can have confidence that what you're learning came from the Buddha. And then you don't believe what I'm sharing with you. You learn it, you reflect on it, and then you practice it and see the truth for yourself that it works. So welcome to all of you guys here. Welcome to those of you guys online that are joining us. I'm going to move right into sharing walking meditation with you guys. So I need to teach it to you first before we can do it. So here, it's important to understand that with walking meditation, it's the same goals as with breathing mindfulness meditation. Like I taught you guys yesterday, that the goals of breathing mindfulness meditation is to eliminate craving, desire, attachment, and cultivate mindfulness, which is awareness of mind, and concentration or singleness of mind. It's the same exact goals. You're just going to be doing it a bit different. The way that I use walking meditation is that if you have a lot of overactive mind, or you have a lot of energy in your mind, this is really good to do walking meditation. Maybe you're not interested in being still and sitting in one spot or lying or standing. So walking can be really good when you have kind of a higher energy and you would like to kind of walk for a while. So you can do it as a standalone meditation just by itself in the way that I'm going to teach it to you, or you can combine it with other positions. So say you sit down and you think you're going to do seated meditation, and 3 minutes into your session, 5 minutes into your session, you realize your mind's a little bit overactive. You can switch and turn to walking and do that instead. Or if you're doing walking and you would like to switch to seated or lying or standing, you can do that as well. You don't need to stay with the same position all the way through your meditation session. So you can do it as a standalone, you can do it prior to other positions, or you can do it at any other time that you feel that it would be wise, in terms of if you're starting one position, you can switch to another position. What you're going to be doing is focusing through the eyes about 1 meter in front of you or 3 feet in front of you, where with the seated, lying, and standing breathing mindfulness meditation, you're focused on the breath and you have your eyes closed, and that's your point that you're fixating the mind on with developing the concentration and focus. Here, what you're going to be doing is staring through the eyes at the ground in front of you, 1 meter or 3 feet in front of you. And your mind is fixated on that. You're not necessarily thinking about the breath or anything like that. Your mind is fixated through the eyes. Your hands and the arms, those are going to be beside you on each side or in front of you or behind you. I'm going to stand up and show you how to do this in a moment. And then what we're going to do is you're going to see that you take your foot and you place it flat on the floor, and then you transfer. You put it flat on the floor and then transfer. It's almost like a clock. It's like tick, tock, tick, tock. And I'm going to be walking in a counterclockwise direction. Okay. So I'm going to switch over the cameras here. And Karen offered to operate this camera, so this way the folks online will be able to see us. So I think if you do it that way, okay, there you go. So that camera's, and I'm going to use this wireless mic. Okay, so if you're the way you're going to stand, if you come this way, Karen, I think they'll be able to see better. There you go. Okay. So if you're standing, you would like to just stand in one spot, and you either have your arms along the side of you, you have them in front of you or behind you. So let me show you that for a moment. Okay. So once you have your arms, you then take your eyes and you look 1 meter in front of you, and then you put your foot flat, and then you transfer. Flat, transfer. Flat, transfer. It's two deliberate movements, very intentional walking. Flat, transfer. Flat, transfer. Flat, transfer. Flat, transfer. You might need that flat transfer for a period of time, but then you'd like to fade it away because that's just occupying the mind. It's just giving the mind a thought to think about, like the counting we talked about. You're not interested in during meditation. You would like to just focus the mind, eyes, and you don't need the flat transfer. Okay, so it's flat transfer, and you might need that for a while, and I'll help you guys get started, but then eventually you would like to get rid of that and just stare through the eyes.
A demonstration of walking meditation was provided.
Okay, do you guys have any questions on anything? No? Okay, so let's do this over here in the classroom. I'll invite you guys to do this as our morning meditation rather than the way we normally do. If you could follow this part too, and then after that, we'll be good to go. So if you guys stand up and we just make like a big oval headed in this direction and kind of spread ourselves out, where we're going out this way. So you're this way. So you're out and facing this way, going around in a big circle. So, yeah. All right, I'll just kind of spread out. Okay. So, yeah, we all just spread out. Okay. So now, with everybody spread out, just look 1 meter in front of you or 3 feet in front of you. You're not looking to the really far in front. You're not looking to the back. You're not looking to the sides, just in the present moment. So look straight down about 1 meter or 3 feet. Then put your hands either front, side, or back. And now put your foot flat out in front of you. Just put your foot out and just kind of feel the surface of the floor, right? You haven't transferred any weight yet. You just got your foot out there flat. And now transfer. Flat, 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 transfer. So now I'm going to stop that. You can just continue on with the flat transfer. And if you need that flat transfer, use it for a time, but then eventually just let it go and just focus through the eyes, looking down at the ground. Two deliberate movements, flat and then transfer, flat and then transfer, just like a clock, tick, tock, tick, tock.
You might decide to pause the audio here and practice walking meditation for 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay, if you guys would like to come into the classroom, we can talk and I can help you with any questions that you guys have related to walking meditation. So as you guys come back into the classroom, I'll just share with you guys that whenever you're doing something new for the first time, oftentimes the mind has difficulties with that. It sometimes will reject whatever you're doing new because the same way of saying that the unenlightened mind craves permanence is to say that it does not like impermanence. It does not like change. So whenever you start implementing something new into your life practice, the mind typically doesn't like that. That's why if you've ever smoked cigarettes and you gave up on that, or you were drinking alcohol and you gave up on that, or coffee or anything like this, the mind doesn't like that. It's kind of like a three-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum whenever you start not giving it what it wants. So if your mind wants to do seated meditation and you start doing walking meditation, it's like, no, I don't like this. The seated meditation is so much better. Why are you doing this to me? No, don't do this. Don't do this. The mind doesn't like that change. But that's exactly why you need to do things like this. You need to change. You need to introduce some impermanence into your practice. Even with seated meditation, if you kind of sit in the same place repetitively and you're meditating, your mind will get attached to that you're sitting like in your bedroom meditating regularly. So what you'll need to do is actually move around in different locations. Move to your living room, move outside, move to a temple, move to a park, move around in different places, not allowing your mind to get attached to one place. So you introduce some impermanence into your practice. So this is one of the things you can do to introduce some impermanence into your practice, is switch to walking meditation sometimes, even when the mind doesn't want to do it, especially when the mind doesn't want to do it, right? Because if it wants to do seated, then there could be a craving, desire, attachment there. That's what a want is, a longing, a yearning. Well, if you introduce some impermanence into your practice, now the mind gets kind of mixed up and it's like, I don't like this impermanence stuff. So you're trying to train your mind to be comfortable with impermanence, to be comfortable with change. So wherever you see it holding on, you try to introduce some impermanence. So I haven't really noticed too much in this class, although there's a couple of you that are experiencing this. Notice how your mind might want to sit in the same spot every day when you come to class. This is the mind craving permanence. So wherever you see the mind wanting to do something like that, you introduce some impermanence. So you kind of move around and do different things. And rather than sitting in the same exact spot every day, you say, all right, mind, I see you want to sit in that spot over there. I'm going to have you sit over here. So you almost treat the mind like a third entity. Even the Buddha talks about this. He says there's a body, there's a mind, and then there's the person. The person is training the mind. So you need to treat that mind like a third entity, that wherever you see it wanting to crave permanence, maybe you go to the restaurant and you order the exact same thing every day, or you sit in the same spot in a classroom, or you do meditation in the same location, you would like to introduce some impermanence and kind of mix it up a bit, treating the mind like a third entity. It's kind of like, yeah, I see you, Mrs. Mind or Mr. Mind. I see you over there trying to sit in the same spot every day. I'm not going to let you do that. You're going to need to sit over here in this place and be comfortable over here too, because the mind tends to have just one thing and it's only comfortable with that one thing. But if you introduce impermanence, now you're training it to be comfortable no matter what. If you sit here, if you sit there, if you sit there, you can be comfortable no matter what. Or if you do meditation here, or you do meditation there, or you do it here, you can be comfortable with that. Or if you do seated or you do walking, your mind can be comfortable and content. And that's what you're trying to do with the mind, right? It's trying to introduce impermanence and get it comfortable with this universal truth of impermanence, because it's craving permanence. Do you guys have any questions on walking meditation now that you've had a little bit of a chance to practice it? Would you mind getting a mic? Yeah, no worries. That way the people online, we have a fair number of people online through YouTube and Facebook today. There's a button on the front. You can bring it back to your seat because you might need it throughout the morning.
Okay, so that's the first time I've heard about not meditating in the same place. Mm-hmm. Meditation, even Buddhist meditation that I've been to, they talk about having a separate place, a special place, whether it's the corner.
It's just some impermanence.
So the corner of your bedroom or somewhere that is your place that you go and sit to meditate, mm-hmm. and have, you know, your whatever offerings or whatever you want to include in it. So I guess it's more a comment than anything. It's just, mm-hmm. It's just quite a different approach.
Yeah, if you understand the underlying and primary and most central problem that the unenlightened mind is experiencing, which is it's craving permanence, then you learn what you're trying to do is you're trying to introduce impermanence into the mind, because the whole world around you is impermanent. And as long as you allow the mind to crave permanence, you're going to experience discontentedness. So if you get to the point where your mind's attached to only meditating in one spot, then when you're somewhere else, you can't meditate. Your mind doesn't like that. It kind of revolts. It becomes agitated or frustrated or irritated. If you could close the button, it sounds like you're getting some feedback. The mind's going to get agitated or irritated or frustrated. So what you're trying to show the mind is, hey, you can be comfortable and content in this little corner of your room, as you say, but hey, you can be content and peaceful over here too and meditate here. Whereas if you only give it that one thing where you're meditating in the corner, it's going to get fixated on that. It's going to get dependent on that. And what you're trying to do is liberate the mind. You're trying to get it free of any kind of attachments. So if you allow the mind to get attached to meditating in one spot, then when you go on vacation or you're in the mountains of Chiang Mai on a 3-day trek through the mountains, you can't meditate. So you'd like to build up a meditation practice where you can meditate anywhere, anytime. You don't need special beads. You don't need a candle. You don't need incense. You don't need music. You don't need a phone app. You only need three things: the body, the mind, and the breath. Those are the only three things you need, and you'll have them with you for the rest of this life. So if you introduce all these special things that the mind gets dependent on, the mind's attached, and now it's fixated on those things. And whenever you have craving, desire, attachment in the mind, this is the pollution of the mind. And when we talk about using meditation and getting more focus and concentration and clarity and all these things, it's not actually the meditation technique itself that is giving that concentration and focus. It's the meditation technique is eliminating the cravings, desires, attachments. When you free the mind of the pollution, that's when the mind starts performing optimally and you start getting the focus and concentration. So even if you allow the mind to hold on to any little thing whatsoever, I'll give you some other examples. Like say you tend to sleep with a fan on each night and you hear that sound and now your mind gets fixated on that and you sleep better and you sleep really good when you have that fan on. Well, then when you sleep somewhere where there isn't a fan because it's impermanent, now you have trouble falling asleep. You lay awake for 2 hours, 3 hours, and you have difficulties falling asleep. Your mind's just ruminating. I noticed at one point that I was attached to a particular fabric of underwear, that in America, we always wore cotton underwear. That's what's available everywhere. So I've always worn that my whole life. But when I came here to Thailand, they don't really have cotton underwear at very many places. It's that, you know, kind of like, I don't know what that fabric's called, that kind of neoprene kind of thing. And I would have trouble falling asleep because the mind was fixated and attached to this fabric. So I needed to train the mind to be able to be comfortable and content with cotton underwear and with this other fabric. Because when you guys learn the six sense bases in this retreat, you understand what the mind's doing is it's having this sensual desire, longing and yearning through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body itself, and then the mind. So if you give the mind permanence, then it's going to get fixated on that. And you would like to introduce this impermanence so that it can be liberated from any kind of dependency on any one particular thing, because that one particular thing isn't permanent. So I would advise anybody and everybody to introduce impermanence into your life on all different kinds of things. You know, even like the jewelry that you wear, like you wear this watch probably regularly. Some days you should wear it, some days don't. Some days wear it, some days don't. Because otherwise the mind's going to feel naked when you go outside without it because you're just so used to wearing it. Or like earrings or jewelry or any of these kinds of things, you would like to introduce some impermanence so the mind doesn't get fixated to it. And that's where you'll see the mind becomes more liberated. You'll see that the peacefulness and the joy comes in and the focus and the concentration, and the mind will perform more optimally because you don't have this craving in there. Yeah. Any other questions? Let me see if we have any questions online. All of you guys online, you're welcome to ask questions by putting that into Facebook, YouTube, or Zoom. Or you can raise your hand in Zoom and ask any questions that you like. Okay, we've got a question here from Mayu Lee. She says, I'm so focused on looking at the ground that I forgot about breathing and finding my breath shallow. Is it okay for me to focus on my breath and my eyes to the floor at the same time? What you would like to do is just focus on one thing at a time. The mind actually can't do two things at a time. You're going to learn about that today when we talk about the Eightfold Path, that you would like to practice what's called singleness of mind. So the mind, it can't do more than one thing at a time. A computer can multitask, but a mind actually can't. The human mind can only do one thing at a time. So what it'll do is it'll rapidly cycle from thing to thing to thing. So if you're trying to look through the eyes and focus the mind there, and you're trying to pay attention to the breath, the mind's going to rapidly cycle back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's what you're trying to eliminate from the mind. So you would like to just focus through the eyes with the mind, and you don't need to think about the breath. If you're breathing naturally, that's all you need to do with the walking meditation. But the mind should be fixated through the eyes. And what the mind's going to want to do is it's going to want to look over to the sides or look really far ahead of you, or it's going to want to have all these thoughts and all these other things. And what you're doing is you're cutting that off and bringing the mind back to the eyes rather than back to the breath. You're bringing the mind back to the eyes, whatever it's focused on. And that'll train the mind to practice singleness of mind. But then when you're doing seated, lying or standing, that's when you focus on the breath. All right. I'm not seeing any other questions anywhere. So what I'm going to do is in this section right here where we're doing walking meditation as our morning session. And I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a break because I need to switch over to some other live stream stuff for our talk today of the Eightfold Path. So right now it's, let's see what time it is. It's 9:42. So let's come back at 10 o'clock, give you guys a nice little break here. And I'm going to start with the Eightfold Path, which is the path to enlightenment. This is where you're going to learn the ins and outs of the Buddhist teachings, this core central teaching. So enjoy your break and we'll see you guys at 10 o'clock. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To provide support for this podcast, visit patreon.com/supportbuddha. To access more teachings, visit buddhadailywisdom.com. There, you will discover a full range of courses, retreats, and online resources to assist you on the path to enlightenment. Remember to establish a daily, consistent meditation practice, along with learning and practicing these teachings. A well-developed meditation practice is the foundation in which to train the mind to attain enlightenment.